Considered in the beginning, and I went home last Wednesday night and got to thinking of before the beginning and prepared a message to bring tonight before the beginning, but we're not going to bring that tonight. I feel led to go another way. We might bring it next week, but tonight we just want to speak with regard to Sister Renee's going home to be with the Lord. We rejoice. We're thankful that the Lord made her a part of all of our lives, some longer than others, of course, but we're just thankful that for the time that we did have. And for the past 18 months or so, she was not able to be in the house of God like she would normally have been or how she would want to have been. And it was an ordeal for her to be here. But more often than not, there she was, sitting back there in the back row, smiling. What an encouragement. What a testimony. It blessed me, and I know it did you too, every time I looked up and saw her sitting back there, because I knew it was difficult for her to get here. And then there were many times that while preparing to get here, she just couldn't. And we just thank the Lord. And we could all see that her health was an obvious state of decline, and we all felt sorrow for her. We all had a burden for her and prayed for every day. And there's still a sorrow in our hearts now that she's left this life, not for her anymore, of course, but for ourselves. We will miss her, but again, we rejoice and we're thankful that she has the victory and that she is at this very moment, right now, living in and fully enjoying that victory, the glory of heaven. The family they, of course, have suffered a loss, and we do need to earnestly pray for them. It's difficult. There's a time to speak and time to keep silent. I need to learn that many times. But it's difficult in the hour of death to hear people say some of the things they say. But they need prayer. Many of them are lost. And we just need to be praying that the Lord will save their souls. Through the years, I've sat with families many times during or through the death process. I got to thinking this morning that many times, I wish it never happened, but many times I had to be a peacemaker between families, between individuals in those families during those times. And that's very sad. It happens. I wish I could say it hardly ever happened, but that's not so. But again, death should be a time when our biological families grow closer together. you would think, you would hope, that that would pull them together. And I'm not, please don't misunderstand, I'm not implying that there was civil war in Brother Mike's family. There wasn't. But this is, biological families should be drawn closer together. Even more so, a church family in the time of one going home to be with the Lord. So I want to speak tonight very briefly on the church, a special relationship. We preached a series of messages on that subject a couple years ago. When we use the word relationship, we're speaking of connection between people and affinity between people, a bond, a commonality between people. And all through the New Testament, the Lord's churches are presented in a position of relationship. They are first and foremost presented in a relationship with Christ. And the analogy of a husband and a wife. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, of course, is addressing the subject of husbands and wives, the relationship, the biblical relationship that ought to exist between husbands and wives. And then in verse 31 and 32, in summary, he says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife." And then after that statement, he begins to describe the nature or the degree of this joining. And he does that by saying, "And they two, husband and wife, male and female, they two shall be one." That's the nature of this joining together. They shall be one flesh. And then he says, "This," that is, two becoming one, "is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church." He's using the analogy of husband and wife, and he is saying that that same relationship, husband and wife, exists between Christ and his church. So there's a very special relationship that exists between Christ and his church. That's also illustrated in the fact that Christ is the head of his church. But that's not what we want to consider tonight. We want to view this relationship that exists between the members that make up one of the Lord's churches. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. "And being let go, they went to their own company." And we'll just stop right there. This, of course, is talking about Peter and John, members of the church that Jesus established in Jerusalem. They've been persecuted. They've stood trial before the Sanhedrin because of the lame man that had been healed outside of the temple. And following this persecution against them, it says they went to their own company. We do that. People do that. They go to their own company. They go to the place, to the people that they are the most comfortable with. It sat some of the company that people go to. But they went to their own company. What it's referring to is they, as you read on, they went to where they knew the church was assembled. That's where they went. They went to their own company. Why? Because that's where they belonged. There was a people that they belonged with. It's where their hearts were drawn. Their hearts were drawn to their church. Their hearts were drawn to God's people. They went to their own company because that's where they wanted to be. They weren't forced to go there. It's where they wanted to be. Something seriously wrong when we don't want to be in the house of God. I understand we get sick and I understand things happen. I understand all that. But even in those times, it's where we ought to want to be. It's where our heart should draw us. They went to their own company. These were the people that they were most closely identified. They didn't go to their relatives, their aunts, their uncles, cousins. They didn't go to their biological family. They went to the church in which they were a part of. They went to their own company. Why? Because they had a common ground with these people. They had an agreement with these people. Again, anytime you can be by yourself and disagree with yourself. But any time there's two people, there are going to be times of disagreement. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen in a church. But don't ever lose sight of the fact that hopefully the people you are in most agreement with, though you don't agree on everything, are the ones in God's house. So they went to their own company. The ones that they were in agreement with, the ones they found delight in, the ones they found comfort, encouragement in, the ones that they appreciated the most, the ones that they had a tenderness for and a love and felt a commitment to. This is where they went to their own company. This is where there was a bond and a very close-knit relationship. It was the most special place to them. That ought to be so. It ought to be so of each one of us concerning the church of which we are a member. So let's look at the closeness of this relationship. It's pictured in a couple different ways. Many different ways. We'll just consider a couple. The metaphor of a human body is used to describe the churches of the Lord. It's used in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. We're all familiar with 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 28. There you have a very good description of the church as a body and how a body functions. Ephesians 4, verse 12. Ephesians 4, verse 16. Colossians 1, verse 18. Colossians 2, verse 19. All of these speak, use the metaphor of a body to describe the Lord's church. Now in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, Paul said to the church of Corinth, now it applies to all of the Lord's churches, but he spoke it to the church of Corinth. And we all know the church of Corinth had many problems. In fact, if the Church of Corinth existed today and had all of those problems, most people in our ranks would unchurch them. That's the truth. We, again, need to be careful who we unchurch. But he said to this church, ye are a body of Christ. In spite of all your problems, ye are a body of Christ. Now, that first of all describes the local nature of the church. And of course, a universal body, whether it be human or any other kind, is absolutely absurd. But that's not the point in this message. Think of a body. And we've spoken this many times, and we're not going to go into much detail at all because our point is to show a relationship. But a body is prepared. A body just didn't happen. It is prepared. It is created by design. If there is a body, there had to be a design, there had to be a creator. That's true of the Lord's churches. A body is not an accident. It's not thrown together in some haphazard way. Again, it's created, it's prepared by design. From Hebrews 10 and verse 5, we see that Jesus Christ had a body prepared for him. Prepared for him. He had a body. But it was a body prepared for him. It had a fleshly body. And just like Christ's fleshly body, each church of Lord Jesus Christ is a prepared body. Now we read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, speaking of the church as a body, but now hath God set, that's something you do on purpose again, set the members in every one of them in the body. God hath set every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. Talking about a church. As it hath pleased him. Again, someone, you may look at someone at another church and say, well, they wish they'd move to Michigan. They'd be a good church member. Only if the Lord adds them. Only if God sets them. I believe that with all of my heart. The psalmist, speaking of his earthly body and person, declared in Psalm 139, verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, it's true of each one of us. But that is also true of the Lord's churches. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. And our point this evening is that there is a special relationship that exists or should exist between the members of a church, of a body, of this body. There ought to be a close relation. The members of our human body have a close relation with one another. They have an association with one another. They have an attachment to one another. They work together. There is a unity in our physical bodies. You have no idea how difficult life would be if the members of our physical body, the outward members of our physical bodies, fought with one another. You couldn't be of any use. That's true of a lot of Lord's churches. When the God-set members begin to fight amongst themselves, that body can quickly become useless. Doesn't mean they cease to be a body necessarily. But they can very quickly become useless, and life becomes very difficult, and life becomes very miserable. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 24, we see how it is that God sets the members in the body. It says, God hath tempered. That is, God harmonizes and proportions the body together. He takes people of different races, people of different backgrounds, people from different cultures perhaps, people with different personalities, different temperaments, on and on we could go. And God harmonizes those together. That's a miracle. Only God can do that. And He proportions them together. And He describes how it's done again in Ephesians 2, verse 21. It says, they are fitly. That means tightly and securely. They are fitly framed. And the word there means welded. They are bound and welded together. The Lord just doesn't bring them together to meet in a building. He tightly and securely welds them together, binds them together. In Ephesians 2:22, he's talking about a building now, but it still applies to a body. It says they are builded. When you build something, you unite parts. You merge parts. You fuse parts together. And that's what the Lord does. They are builded together. And in Ephesians 4, verse 16, he's back to the analogy of a body. He says the whole body. The whole body. One member may appear more significant than another, but he's talking about the whole body. And he's talking in church, he's talking about a church now. The whole body, again, fitly. There's that word again. Tightly and securely joined. They're united. They're linked together. And then he says, and compacted or cemented together. They are knit together. So from these verses, we see that, again, this is not just a people meeting in a building. This is a people that have been welded together. This is a people that are cemented together. And we see the closeness of such in Romans 12, 5. Everyone members of one another. Talking about a church. One member just doesn't exist out here and another exists out here. But everyone is a member of one another. And he states the same thing in Ephesians 4, 25. He says, we are members of one another. So again, all of this draws a picture of the fact that as a church, we do not just meet together a couple days a week, but we are tightly, securely united, connected, linked, knit together, so much so that we're one. That's what a church is supposed to be. Now, we see the metaphor of a body. We also see the illustration of a household. And we've, in the past, shown the difference between the family of God, the kingdom of God, the church of God. The difference between a family and a household. And we've gone into detail on those things. Again, that's not our point tonight, but there is a difference between the family of God, the kingdom of God, and the church. Most of so-called Christianity wants to link all of these together. make them one and the same, but they're not the same. They're different. They're different. And again, we're not going to reiterate the difference between these three, not because it's not important, because it is, but because that's just not our point. Our point is to show the closeness of a relationship between members in the Lord's churches. But concerning the family of God, in Ephesians 3, verse 15, we read of whom, referring back to Jesus Christ, the whole family, in heaven and earth is named. The whole family, talking about the family of God, and the whole family of God dwells in two places. Some are in heaven, some are on earth. The whole family. Heaven, earth. In other words, this family of God is separated. Is separated. Just like all earthly families are separated. They are separated by heaven and earth. Again, earthly families are separated by distance. We're separated by miles. We're separation. Some of the family can be together, but when you talk about the whole family, there's a separation that exists. Now, one day, of course, the whole family of God will be reunited in heaven. The Lord's churches are called out of this portion of the family on earth. So you have a part of the family of God on earth, and out of that family, God chooses some and sets in His church. That's what we see in Luke chapter 6. Called His disciples unto him, and of them He chose 12. Apostles. So, families. Our earthly families are made up of several households. That is, a household includes those who dwell under the same roof. Households. Our whole family does not live in the same household. People grow, they get married, they have their own children, they establish a household. People move out, they establish a household. So any one family has several households dwelling under the same roof. Now those who make up a household have even a closer attachment to those in that household than they do to the rest of the family. It's a different relationship. Those who dwell in your household, that there's a different relationship than the relationship you have with Uncle Bill. It's a different relationship. Husband, if it's just husband and wife dwelling in a household, it's a different relationship than your children's household, or at least it should be. Something's sadly wrong if it isn't. We better stop there. But several households that make up families. There is a knowledge. Those who dwell in a household have a knowledge of one another that the whole family is not aware of. There is a special interrelationship between those of a household. There is a fellowship that you can have within a household that you cannot have with the whole family. There's a special fellowship that you have that goes beyond your whole earthly family, that goes beyond earthly family ties and the family outside of your household. There's also a different responsibility in your household. You have responsibilities in your household that you do not have toward the rest of your family and their households. A lot of people need to learn that, but it's true. Your responsibilities change. There's also a difference in accountability. You're more accountable to those in your household than you are those outside of your household. So, the local assemblies of the Lord, the local churches of the Lord, are referred to as a household. There's a family of God in heaven and earth. And this family of God and earth, there are several households called churches. Not just any church, but the kind that Jesus established during his earthly ministry. In Galatians chapter 6, and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. I believe that means saved or lost. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I believe he's talking about the church. We see the same thing in Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, and keep in mind who he's talking to. He's talking to the church of Ephesus with the saints and of the household of God. So as a church, we are a body. As a church, we are a household. We are a household. We have experienced a death in our household. Now, not to minimize a death in the family outside of the household, but a death in the household is different. It's different. And every time someone, a member from Home Baptist Church, is promoted to glory, we experience an earthly death in our household. And anyone who's experienced death in a household, that brings sadness. You're not even human if it doesn't bring sadness. It brings great grief. There was a sense of loss. Now, Sister Renee was and is a family member of the family of God. And she was a family member of this household. Now, I'm not going to get off on Facebook, but once again, this is one of the things that I believe Facebook has done. Yes, you could say, to a point, though I don't believe it's as true as most people think, that Facebook has brought Christians outside of our church closer together. You could make that argument. I believe I could refute it many ways. But there is some truth to that. But here's something else Facebook has done. It has diminished the importance of our household. People have more fellowship with those outside the household than they do within the household. And they have a closeness with those outside the household rather than the household. I believe it's diminished the importance of one's home church. And there's a lot I could say about that, but again, that's not my point. But we have experienced a death in our household. So therefore, Renee's moving to heaven is a loss. For us, Not a loss for her, but a loss for us as a church. And of course, a different loss to Brother Mike. But that ought to cause us to, and I think many do, but it ought to cause us to realize the preciousness of the church as a household. The preciousness of it. And it ought to strengthen our family sentiment in the household. Again, the time of death, many families, every disagreement they've ever had throughout the generations comes to the surface. That should not be. Certainly it should not be in the house of the Lord, and I don't believe there's any danger of that. I'm not implying that. But it ought to strengthen our family ties within the household. The characteristics of this relationship, family of the same household, that's a gift. That's a gift. Everyone in your household is a gift. That's a special gift. And it doesn't last forever. Children grow up, they move on. It just doesn't last forever. It's the same with a church. Family of the same household is a gift. It's a blessing from God. It doesn't last forever. People go home to be with the Lord. How thankful we ought to be that the Lord puts together His households. The Lord knows what He's doing. He always knows what He's doing. He always has a purpose. He always has a reason of bringing people together in a church household. And Jesus, speaking to a church household, speaking to His apostles, in John 15 and 12 said, "Love one another as I have loved you." That's what is to exist in this household. Not just love one another, but love one another as I have loved you. That's not possible. I mean, we can't do that to the same degree that Christ loves us. But I don't believe the degree is what He's talking about. I believe He's talking about a pattern. As I have loved you. Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 10, "Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." That's a characteristic of a household. Romans 15, 7, "Receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Think of how Christ received us. Were we worthy? Were we worthy? No. We're to receive one another. Well, they don't deserve it. We're to receive one another as Christ received us. What a wonderful household that is. Galatians 6:2, it says, or Galatians 5:13, "By love serve one another." Galatians 6, verse 2 says, "Bear," or that means to carry or to absorb, "ye one another's burdens." That's what people do in a household. Ephesians 4, verse 2, "Forbearing one another in love." Again, meaning that sometimes people get on our nerves. What are we to do? Let them know that they're getting on our nerves? No, we're to forbear. Then he goes on in Ephesians 4:32, "Forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That means we'll be wronged. Any household in the world, people are wronged. There isn't a household in existence where people are not wronged by others. That's also true of the Lord's churches. It amazes me how quickly people will leave the house of God because they feel they've been wronged, and maybe they have. But they don't do that in their own house. And the household of God, we're to forgive. Just as God forgave us in Christ. Again, I believe there's a pattern. I'm not capable of forgiving you, and you're not capable of forgiving me. Has God forgave us? But there is a pattern. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, edify one another. James 5:16, pray for one another. So we are family of the same household. People, I've seen it many times, and to be honest, I've been there as well. Sometimes as a church gets older, members go home to be with the Lord. People may have a tendency to get depressed or pessimistic. There's another way to look at that. One of the members of our household has been promoted. That's a good thing. Promoted to glory. What a wonderful thing. How happy we ought to be. Do we miss them? Of course we do. We have, everybody here can make a long list of people who have been members of this household that have gone on to be with the Lord. And they're missed. They've all been promoted. We're waiting for the same thing. We're waiting for the same thing. So we ought to rejoice. But at the same time, how many people here knew last week that was Sister Renee's last time she'd be in this household? None of us knew. None of us knew that. None of us. And it happens all the time. We don't know when it'll be our last church service. We don't know when our brother and sister that perhaps we didn't say hi to, or we, you know, just kind of ignored them, we don't know that may be their last church service. I believe we need to consider that. We need to consider that in all phases of our life. But we certainly need to consider it in the Lord's house. What I'm saying is there ought to be a deepening appreciation for one another in God's household. This world grows more and more wicked by the day. And there aren't too many people in this world that I even have any desire to be around, that I'm comfortable being around. But oh, how has the days grown more wicked, and has members of the household are promoted to glory, how much more appreciation we ought to have for one another, and how much more thanksgiving we ought to have for each other. We're blessed to have a church family. Amen. Is it a perfect church? No. Someone once said, if you find a perfect church, don't go to it. You'll ruin it. That's the truth. There is no such thing. There's no such thing as a perfect household either. Because we're people. Because we sin. But in times, Mike expressed it over and over and over. In times of trial, what a blessing. A church family. Most of the world doesn't have that. And I'm here to tell you that a church family is closer than a biological family. Most of my biological family will go the other way if they see me coming. I thank God for a church family. Oh, that we would just appreciate one another more and more and more every day. Thank the Lord for the time that we have had with Sister Renee. She got me out of my comfort zone. I'd go up and see her in the hospital or when Trevor was having something done or someone else in the family. Always wear a tie when I go to a hospital. That's just my comfort zone. She would rebuke me every time. I don't want you coming up here in a tie. Just wear jeans and casual shirt. About 2 years ago, I did. I just showed up with a pair of blue jeans and a casual shirt, and she had a shocked look on her face. And I said, I did it for you. And then from that point on, every time I went to visit her, that's what I wore. And she just get a big smile. It got me out of my comfort zone a little bit. Nothing wrong with that. All of us could tell many stories, fond memories. Do pray for Brother Mike. And I know you do. He's had a lot on his plate the last couple years. Never seems to get down. I'm sure he does, but never seems to. Just pray for him. Pray for one another. We never know when we may see each other for the last time. Pray for their family. Souls would be saved. Those who are saved and aren't right, pray for them. The Lord would bless their lives. I'm going to close the service. I'm going to ask Brother Larry, if you would pray, and then